Welcome back to West Coast Mix and Bounce. I'm your co-host, Leslie Torres, joined by...
Brianna Marks.
West Coast Mix and Bounce is brought to you by Sports Al Dente, your recipe for LA sports. If you love this podcast and love LA sports, then you need to go check out sportsaldente.com, like right now. We are a Los Angeles player-centric media platform, and our passion is to feature the greatest players and teams of LA. We are also fully dedicated to giving expert weekly and daily service in the world of fantasy football. We offer three different affordable membership packages, monthly, yearly, and lifetime. When you go to subscribe, just make sure you use our promo code WCMB and get 10% off any package. Make sure to also connect with us once you subscribe. But now, let's get to the good stuff. The Clippers and the Warriors series came to an end on Friday when the Warriors beat the Clippers 129-110 in Game 6. But before we even get to Game 6, let's rewind a little bit and go back to where we left off in last week's podcast. So the last time we chatted, Brianna, the Warriors were up 2-1. How the Clippers managed to get another win is beyond me. So let's take it back to Game 4. Kind of fill us in on what happened in Game 4.
Yeah, so Game 4... the Warriors definitely, you know, they weren't having it. So they definitely came out to win. I just want to say, like, it's so interesting that this, like, series kind of went, like, back and forth so hard. But yeah, Game 4, KD had 33 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Honestly, I think when KD scores anything more than like 25 points, it's really hard to stop Golden State as a whole. Then you have on top of that, Klay Thompson also had a great night. He had 32 points. And then referring to our last podcast when you were saying that like Steph Curry had like a lot of rebounds in the last game. Mm-hmm. Well, he had 10 rebounds and that was the same as Andrew Bogut, which is the center. So I'm like, okay, so Steph Curry thinks he's a center now.
Gotta do the dirty work.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really funny. Like, he's really been in the paint a lot. It's actually super surprising. But KD and Klay Thompson, they combined for 65 points. So it's really hard to stop them when they both go, when two teammates on that team go over 30 points together. And even though Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he had 25 points and as a rookie in a playoff series, that's really great. I think they look promising, but... you know, like I said, it's just one of those series that kind of went back and forth and just kind of mirrored each other, like, as things went along. And honestly, my opinion is if Game 6 wasn't in Oakland, right? Their stadium's in Oakland?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it wasn't in Oakland and it was in L.A., I think the Clippers would have forced a Game 7.
I think so, too. It was so close. But to your point about Curry, like, doing all that work and getting the rebounds, I was also very impressed with that stat. I was like, yes. But because of players like KD and Thompson stepping up, then he's allowed to move into a different kind of role. And I kind of like it that he's kind of... getting into it and not being ashamed or like, you know, because we usually like to see Curry shoot from like the logo sign and all the way deep. And if he's not doing that, then we're not really interested. But he's managed to find a way to still make work and do work for the Warriors. And they came out with the win. So that was really good. And Game 4 was a little bit disappointed by the Clippers because I thought they were going to, you know, keep up with the momentum and win. But they couldn't. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
And it comes back to, I think, Lou Williams. He's kind of like the spark for the Clippers. So if he's not having a good night, then I think everything just falls flat around him. And for that game, he played 30 minutes, only had 12 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. So, I mean, it's not a bad stat, but it's not what we're used to. And it shouldn't be a stat that we're used to when we're watching a playoff game, especially when you're playing a team like the Warriors.
Yeah.
But I think, honestly, the Warriors just played all around a little bit better. And we're, like you said, we're rebounding more and not only offensively, but also defensively. So I think I looked at the stat sheet and then well, I looked it up online. The Warriors out-rebounded the Clippers 49-33. And out of those 49 rebounds, 11 were on the offensive end. So it just goes to show that they were doing it. They were trying to get that extra play and not letting the Clippers win. Like, they really didn't want them to win another game. So it shocked me then when game five came along and the Clippers won.
Yeah, it's just that teeter-totter. It's like, okay, the Warriors, they won. We got to come back and we got to do something different. It's just, I think these two teams are so highly competitive. That's why it went so far. Like,
oh, for sure.
Who was I reading said earlier? Oh, of course, Patrick Beverley. he said, you know, to go back to back to go to six games with back-to-back championships, you know, they have to hold their heads high, which is true because it's hard just in general in a playoff series to play the same team numerous times with, like, little to no days off and then expect to win against them either consecutively or outwin them.
Mm-hmm.
So in game five, it's just kind of like, okay, they had some rest, they came back, they were able to produce some things. Gallinari had 26 points. Lou Williams, like you said, he had 33 points, which is always a great thing. As soon as there he gets into a rhythm,
yep,
he sets the whole pace for everybody else. Harrell had over 20 points, I believe. So it's just kind of like when Lou comes out and he has a good game, like it's just automatic. He knows how. He had 10 assists. He's opening up the floor. It's just automatic. And what was super surprising is that KD had 45 points.
Ooh, and they still lost. That was amazing.
That was crazy to me. That was crazy. But see, the thing is, I said when two players score over 30 points, nobody else scored over 30 points except for KD. So the Warriors have to watch out for that too. They have to have some kind of balance. You know, they're not like a Harden team where Harden could go out and score 50 points and everybody scored like something minimal and then they win.
Oh, no, yeah.
You know, like it has to be like a balance because Curry still had 24 points. Klay had 22 points. But I think at the end of the day, like the Clippers just overall through the stat line were just putting up like a harder battle for the Warriors.
Oh yeah.
And it just kind of I won them. I mean, it was a close game. It came down to the last few minutes, but they tired them out. Overall, they tired the Warriors out.
Oh, for sure. And, yeah, I think in the last couple of minutes is where it really came down to it. And I feel like the way that the Clippers won was because they had no one kind of to defend them in the paint. And like you said, they were tired out. Like, Bogut was nowhere to be seen. And so who's going to protect the rim at that moment? And so I think it was like just consecutive plays of Lou Williams to Harrell and like dunk, Lou Williams to Harrell and then dunk. Like they couldn't defend that simple play. So I think it kind of came down to that. And I give the props to the Clippers for switching kind of the script and saying that, okay, great, DeMarcus Cousins is not here. He's injured. Let's take advantage. Let's use the paint. And I think they had 54 points in the paint on game five. So I was truly impressed because at that moment, any other team kind of would have buckled down with the pressure and just kind of given up and say, oh, well, here's Curry with another three. Like, let's just let it go. Let's give up or kind of not want to or not build the momentum. But the Clippers just kept on going. And I think, like you said, this is the kind of grit and the hard play that they do that we all like to watch. And so just to illustrate what you said about Beverly, I think game six was at Staples, and so they lost, but you would expect the arena to be more like disappointed and sad and maybe even boo their players, not the Clippers fans at all. They were so supportive, standing ovation, you know, and they know how much work the Clippers put in and what their players mean to the team. And so I was very proud of that moment, because not a lot of fan bases would do that, especially going against a team like the Warriors. I thought it was kind of nice. And about Kevin Durant, yeah, he went off. He's crazy. Is he human?
Crazy. Yeah, the fact that I believe it was Draymond, like Draymond literally ran away from a reporter just to like go talk to Harold and tell him like, man, you did a great job. Like, you're a great player. Keep doing like. That respect, I have not seen that respect in playoffs between two teams.
So especially thought, from like, someone like Draymond Green.
Exactly. Somebody who's like so highly competitive and like sarcastic, you know? But like they really made an effort to be like, no, they are a good team. Like, and they weren't like being a hater about it or anything. Because they've had some, you know, they've had some very TikTok moments with each other.
Yeah.
But I think overall, like, seeing how they produced and that they literally took them to game six was kind of like a check for the Warriors, not only in their minds, but, like, looking down the road, literally down the street, like, hey, there's another team in California that deserves respect, too, and we're going to give that to them. I thought that was amazing. That was really heartwarming, and it was just, it's like a definition of sportsmanship, you know. You don't see that a lot. You don't see that respect between like winners and losers, quote unquote, because they're not losers. They're not losers.
Technically they lost, but they've won a lot more. Yeah,
exactly.
No,
but yeah
it was a nice series to watch. I shouldn't say nice, because it was really exciting, the games that the Clippers did win. But it kind of, I think, put the Warriors, like you said, back into perspective. Some of them were already looking ahead, trying to see, okay, well, we're going to play the Rockets. What do you have to do to, you know, be better in that series? And it's like, no, wait, we still have a series here going on. And it kind of just, like, brought them back to this world. And it's like, appreciate, they're not losing, but you guys didn't win, you guys didn't sweep. So you should appreciate the moment that you have right now. But I think those comments were being heard by the Warriors players, because in game six, KD, if I thought he went off in game five, he went off in game six. Mm-hmm. He had a career high, career playoff high with 50 points. And I'm kind of speechless, but...
Yeah, for sure. I think it honestly goes back also to what we were saying. Like, in the first three games, he was not doing what he did in the last three games, not even close. And I think, like, it comes down to that balance we were talking about, how like, he's kind of, like, holding this swagger, like, he doesn't want to really be with the Warriors, but he is, so he's going to have to find a balance of his emotions. And I think he just kind of, like, checked himself in, really, and was like, we're winning, I'm going to put my emotions aside. I'm going to go out and score, you know?
No, yeah. It's funny how it's like he had in game four, he had 33 points. And then game five, he had 45. And then game six comes and he has 50. And it's like, okay, well, now we see you. And it's like, if it was any other player, 33 points in a game would be great, you know? But because it is Kevin Durant, we kind of expect more from him and a caliber of player. And so I think one of his pregame comments, I don't know if you mentioned it, but he was like, I'm KD, you know, y'all know who I am. And it's like, we know who you are. That's why we expect a little bit more from you. And I think he heard the criticism. He's like, well, let me just kind of remind them who I am, just in case they forgot. And bam, he drops 50. But I mean, and it's game six. If KD can show up and play on command, then I'm so for Kevin Durant. And it kind of brings, I think, a different conversation, because we've always said that, you know, KD had to go to the Warriors to win, and the championships that he won with the Warriors, it's because of the Warriors, the rest of the team, basically. And so now I feel like, what the Warriors would have won without KD? It's like, now I feel like maybe that's a conversation we should be having, just because KD is doing so great. What do you think?
I definitely think he's adding a different aspect to the Warriors. I think they've been capable of winning before KD, but KD really brings that extra, like, I don't know, almost like cockiness, like, you could tell, like, he has a lot of confidence. Sometimes it comes off like a little arrogant, but he adds just a little extra spice to them, you know, just a little extra, like, I'm gonna talk my stuff and then I'm gonna go out and score 50 points and that's that, like, you know. So it's not gonna always help them win games, as you can see, but it's definitely, it would be way harder for the Warriors to win against the league the way it is now than what it was before without KD.
Yeah, I think because of the way that he really is playing, like, super great, it kind of adds a little bit more respect for his game and his name. So it's like, people are going to always, I feel, discredit Kevin Durant for his championships with the Warriors because he's like, well, you joined a super team, so it doesn't count. I think now we can kind of say, well, you know, maybe if Kevin Durant wasn't there, maybe the Warriors would have not won. Maybe this year, let's say if they do win the championship, maybe it'll be a little bit more respect on Kevin Durant's name. So I can see where it's going. I enjoy it. I think that game also Draymond Green had a triple-double, correct?
Yep.
I mean, he's been kind of quiet for the entire series. So for game six, for him to show up, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's important. It's good to see him, you know, put up those numbers because we all know he's capable. But I think he's kind of just maybe taking a back seat, considering he's on the team with Curry, Thompson, Iguodala. You know, like, he doesn't feel the need all the time to like get a triple double. But he's obviously, like, he's more than capable of getting a triple double on. Especially important games. So it's good to see him, like, pop out like that. Like, hey, guys, I'm still here. Like, I'm important, too, you know? Exactly. It's not all about KD. But, it's definitely good to see that. Now, with KD, like, my personal issue with KD is that he left the team to another team that he was competing against. You know, like, that's my issue. Like, if he wins rings, I respect that. Cool. I think I respect him more for this playoff series, definitely, than any other, like, than the previous playoff series. I think he's really stepped up. But, I mean, I still feel like he's going to leave. So it's just kind of like, I don't know. Like, he's an overall good player. Honestly, obviously, he's one of the greatest players to ever play in the game. But some of his, like, sportsmanship, like, ideas or idealistic, like, just brain waves, like, I don't understand them.
Just, like, just the way his brain works.
I would never, like, leave my team to the competing team that just won. Like, I feel like that's such a cop out, but that's my personal opinion. All, like, you know, all the good energy and vibes to him, but, like, my personal opinion is, like, no. Like, that was a no, but good for him though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I have a different take. I can say I really don't care. I mean, it's not that I don't care, but you still have to play. So it's not like he's just sitting on the bench and then, like, oh, a championship. He's still playing. He's still making points, you know. He's still committing to the team and producing minutes and winning. So I wouldn't take it all away from him. But I mean, yeah, I would get mad if I do it in different situations and a player from my team would leave. I'd be like, where are you going? Why? Stay with us. Try. You know, but eventually everybody becomes a free agent. Everybody leaves. And so the Clippers season is over. That means that they have the summer to look forward to. So
they do.
Who will they be keeping? Mostly all of their core players, like Lou Williams, Harold, Gallinari. They have a few free agents. I think one is Zubac, which they acquired from a trade. What do you think? They try to get him back? They don't?
I think the lower people on the team, like you said, like the core people, Beverly, Gallinari.
So Beverly is a free agent.
He is, but he is definitely, I mean, okay, I'm going to put it like this. If the Clippers were to acquire somebody like, say, KD or who else is on the free agency list? Like Anthony Davis.
Kawhi.
Somebody like that. Somebody huge like that, and they cut somebody like Beverly or Harrell or Robinson. Okay, understand that. But I think, like you said, like the core, like, I honestly think Beverly should stay, but that's something like I said, big names. Okay, cool. Williams should definitely stay. That should not be a question. I think Harrell has definitely proved himself. Mm-hmm. There should be like no shakeup with that. Gallinari. Now, like if they trade one of their rookies, that's one thing. But I think like Gilius Alexander, for him to score 25 points in a playoff series as a rookie is like, come on, like that's an investment. You should keep him around.
Yes.
But they're definitely gonna have to cut some people if they're going after like huge names like Davis or KD.
Well, that's the great thing is that they, regardless if they still keep their core, they still have a lot of space and a lot of money to try and go for these big contracts and free agency, right? But what what I've been doing my research is Patrick Beverley. So I think that's very interesting because I feel like as the Clippers fan base has gone through them throughout this season, they've grown really attached to Patrick Beverley. And so rumors that have started or have started since back in March is that the Dallas Mavericks are very interested in him as a player. I mean, that was back in March, so we don't know now that he's been on the NBA playoff national scheme of things. More people are watching him play, more teams are interested. So he did say in his end of season interview just like probably like days ago that he had a really great bond with Lou Williams and Harold, but he also said that it would be a tough decision. So I think it's going to come down to money. Beverly wants to get paid, and as you should pay him. So I feel like the Clippers are going to have to balance out if we're going to pay, how much we're going to pay him, if it's going to be worth it, and is it going to kind of put a dent into our free agency plans. But ultimately, I just think I believe in Jerry West. If he's still there with the Clippers, he's like a mastermind. So if they resign Beverly, I'm for Jerry West, whatever he believes. If they don't, then I'm still drinking his Kool-Aid for whatever Jerry West says, because he's great. But I have faith that they're going to try to keep him around just because he's kind of grown very attached to the Clippers. And I feel like he just likes to be in LA and likes to have that underdog kind of mentality. And when you're playing for a team like the Clippers and where the Lakers are in the same kind of city, you always have that underdog, because the Lakers run LA, right? Well, technically, mm-hmm. as the NBA team. So he's always going to have that underdog mentality, and I feel like he thrives on that. And leaving to any other city, maybe might not get the same production out of him. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, Jerry West, like you said, obviously he's a mastermind. I mean, he traded Tobias Harris and they went to game 6 against the Warriors. So it's kind of like he knows what he's doing for sure, because I really thought that was going to deflate them. But Landry Shamet stepped up. The rookie stepped up. I don't know what kind of a chemical reaction that like that he knew that he was like formulating in the front office. I don't know, but he made it work somehow. and these guys that he brought in really meshed well and made them, honestly, I think, a better team.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would have went to game 6 if they just had, you know, Tobias instead of the new people that they have now.
Yes. So I feel like because they are younger and they are newer and they're in this situation, they kind of fight for it more. They're a little bit more gritty. They like to, they will do whatever it takes to not lose, to not look stupid on national TV, to not at least not get one W in. So I feel like there's a kind of like a mindset, and Jerry West has been able to kind of click with those kind of mindsets. So props mm-hmm. to the Clippers for that. Okay, so we've covered that. Now the Warriors moved on and now are now playing the Rockets. Game 1 The Warriors won 104-100.
Oh my God.
Since you're chuckling over there, go ahead, give us a little recap.
No, this, like, honestly, game one, I'm not ready for the rest of the series.
You're ready for tonight.
I'm not ready. I know they're about to play soon, but, like, oh my gosh, like, I think everybody knew, obviously, the Rockets were going to come out and be gritty. But my God, because, you know, they have this huge chip on their shoulder from the last series they played. Oof. They're still upset about the fouls that weren't called and that. And then on top of that, you know, the report came out about all of the missed fouls.
Yes.
You know, besides just the game itself, who put up points, what the emotion, like... against Ooh. Both teams is out of this world. So I'm,
you can
I'm not
feel it
ready.
Through the TV. That's how great it is.
Yes, like I'm not ready.
Yeah. So it was a really close game, right? I mean, just how I like my NBA playoff games, really close. And there were some controversial calls towards the end made by a couple of refs, but. The Warriors came out winning. KD had 35 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Curry had 18 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. And everybody else just had, like, under 15 points. And then for the Rockets side, Harden had 35 points. And besides that, everybody was kind of like, you know, less than, 17 that Eric Gordon had. But, yeah, so I think, like you mentioned, Rockets had already prior drama with the refs from last playoff series. And it's like they can't shake it off. And I feel like they look for it now. It's kind of like a bias or a recency bias kind of in a kind of way that they're just looking for a missed call. So they can be like, you see, that's what happened to us last playoff.
Yeah.
And I mean, I understand how it can mess with your head and mess with your mentality. Should it be the reason that you lose a game, though? I don't know. What do you think?
No, I don't. I'm glad you asked that question. I really don't. Because... I think the best reaction was, you know, Harden was like, we just want a fair game, you know, with the refs calling whatever. And Draymond, like, his response to that, I believe a reporter told him, he was like, come on, man. Like, the refs are like that with every game. They're not perfect. They're going to mess up. Now, in game 7, I will say this. 81 missed calls or non-calls in one game, that equals up to at least a possibly 18.6 points. That's what came from the report. That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I think somebody was getting paid.
Yeah.
That's too much. Now, the missed calls in this game one, I do believe they were blown out of proportion because the Rockets already came in, like, the refs are against us, we're playing the Warriors, they don't want us to win, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Clippers complaining about missed calls, like, getting ejected, throwing things at refs?
Yes.
Just play the game. And honestly, even when it comes down to the points, you have KD, he scored 35 points. He had, like you said, he had 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Then you have 4 other players who all scored over 10 points for a combined 59 points. That's not, that has nothing to do with fouls.
Exactly. Exactly.
That has nothing to do with foul calls, you know? And you have Harden who put up 35, like you said, and then Chris Paul, 17, and Gordon, 27. But all their other players weren't really on the stat line. So it's just kind of like, y'all are obsessing over fouls and not, like, focusing on what's real.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. The thing is that you when you're playing the game, you're going to get a call that you like and calls that you don't like. Are you complaining when you get a call that clearly, you know, we watched on the replay and it wasn't a foul, or you flopped? And are you complaining about those calls? No. So the same is, keep that same energy when you do get a foul against you. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, it's a playoff game. You, like, to your point, you should be more concentrated and just stick to what the game is. All this complaining from the players, I think, kind of has to stop, and it's kind of ruining it, because So now what are we focusing? Not on the game, not on the points, not on the defense, the offense, the plays. Or we're not talking about any of that. We're focusing on our attention on the refs. Exactly. And then now we have articles about, like, to, you know, to add to the fact that tonight will be Scott Fisher officiating. Who is that? I have no idea. But, of course, I'm a good journalist and I read the article. And so I guess he's officiated other Rockets games and he's kind of one of the refs that the Rockets seem to have a problem with or don't like. And so he's going to be officiating tonight. And so there we go. Instead of focusing on the game, you know, game two, Warriors, Rockets, what happened last year, and, like, you know, these other great storylines, we come have to focus on Scott Fisher officiating. What is he going to do? What is he going to say? Who is he going to call foul on? Is he going to go, you know, so much more speculation than what needs to be about just the game. And I mean, you know, Harden and the Rockets, they get calls all the time, all game long, and other teams complain, but just because it doesn't happen to them in, like, the last 2 minutes, then it's like the end of the world. I don't know. I just feel like they need to stop complaining and concentrate, because that's kind of, it goes either way in most games, you know. It's like, you're either going to get a good call, you're going to get a bad call. It just happens. That's not the reason why you lost, though. The reason that you lost, you probably weren't defending the play before, or, you know, you couldn't catch up to the fast break or whatever it was, you know? But I feel like there's other excuses rather than the calls.
Yeah, for sure. I'm, like, literally on the same wavelength with you. Like, let the refs call the game and you play. Like, that's just how it is. Now, I'm not gonna sit here and lie, like, you know, refs haven't called some terrible stuff.
Exactly.
In the past, they have, but that should not be your focus, because you have no control over that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have no control what the refs say, no matter how much they complain, because at the end of the day, you're gonna get thrown out. So now you're causing your team an extra player, a good player. Chris Paul shouldn't. I understand he got emotional, but for him to, like, really come at the ref like that, bro, like, he's lucky he didn't get suspended.
Exactly. You
know, he got fined. He got fined a good amount of money, but he's lucky he didn't get suspended. Now you're causing your team, like I said, an extra player because you're obsessing over what the ref is saying. Like, it's obsessive. It's not okay. Every game has its good and bad calls, but they just think, I don't know, the whole refs, like, association is against them. Bro, no. Chill out.
You're not, like, that special.
Like, chill out. You may get upset, but leave that stuff off the court, you know? Like, continue to play your game. Only you can win.
Yeah, I mean,
what is.
I agree with you. Chris Paul, he's like an NBA president of something or other, right? And so I feel like if that really is a problem, take it up in the off season, you know? Be like, you know, this ref or this specific person just keeps on making these calls, you know, investigate, look into it, and then kind of, like, get back to me. But if that's if that's not happening in the off season, then you only care when their calls are not made for your convenience, then it's kind of just like, we'll let it go. Because, like you said, we have no control over it. Or, you know, this can start a way for the NBA to petition, like, certain calls to be reviewed or replayed, or, you know, or a different kind of system to be put in place. Because, you know, the system could always be fixed. It could always get better. But, I mean, if it's just the Rockets complaining and specific two players complaining, then it's like, maybe it's not our system. Maybe it's just you guys.
Maybe it's just y'all.
Yeah. So besides looking out for the refs tonight, anything fun that you're expecting for tonight's game?
For tonight's game, I mean, I don't know. If the Rockets can simply get over the refs and play, they can win. Like, I think this series could go to a game seven if they don't let the refs get in their head. But from what I saw last night, like, that, like, the complete meltdown that they have, I mean, not last night, the night before, but, like, from the complete meltdown that they had, like, that is not going to help you win at all. You'll get swept. You'll get swept.
Mm-hmm. And I think yeah, exactly. And I think the Warriors kind of are catching on to that. And it's like, well, if we can kind of flop a little bit more, get a couple calls going our way, we might just get into their heads. kind of like what Patrick Beverly did, get into their heads and kind of make this, like, ruin it for them, because they're going to be obsessing over it anyway. So if we kind of flop a little bit, get one or two calls, and then they're just going to go berserk and insane, we can get some of them ejected, we can get some of them suspended, and it's just a smooth sailing from here to the Western Conference Finals.
I told you, I said, if they get past the Clippers, that's it, because every other team is going to take it so personal.
Yes.
Like, every other team is going to be like, oh, the Warriors, they want the Warriors to win. Like, bro, just like, come on. Like, did you think the Clippers was going to go to game six? I don't think anybody thought the Clippers was going to go to game six.
Uh-uh.
Honestly, because there was so much... I was so upset, honestly, like, watching back, like, sports reporters and journalism's, like, talking over the game, because literally all I kept hearing was the Warriors couldn't produce, the Warriors couldn't do this, the Warriors, but the Clippers, like, give them some respect.
Yes, exactly.
You know, they did a really good,
like,
job.
Like, even when they're winning, they're still talking about the Warriors losing. Like, no, let's talk about the Clippers winning.
Exactly. Like, come on, shine some light on them. But honestly, if the Rockets can't, like I said, if they can't get over it, I mean, this is going to be an easy series. It's going to be nothing. I think they may take, like, a win or two, maybe at home, but inside the Staples Center, I think they have zero advantage, because they automatically think that whole state is against them. You know, like, so I really don't know how they're gonna, if they cannot win at Golden State, they are not gonna win this series.
Yep.
At all.
Oh yeah, Oracle will be crazy.
Thank you guys for tuning in for another episode of West Coast Mix and Bounce. Hope to catch you watching the game tonight and further games along in the playoffs, and we'll definitely see you in another 2 weeks for another episode. I'm Bronna Marks,
and I'm Leslie Torres.
We'll catch you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.